You probably will do that. You'll throw a little tantrum and fall asleep mid tantrum and wake up and everything will be fine again.
Smoking strange when I met a penguin. Goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. On that deranged penguin, for an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin, he made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Deranged Penguin Podcast, and we're recording live with Bradley.
Fastest show in history.
So, we said we're going to talk about Sling Blade, so let's jump right into it. Let's not waste anybody's time.
All right, Brad, thanks for joining us. Talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks.
See ya.
Brad, you watched 40 minutes of Sling Blade because we can always trust you to do your homework.
Yep.
I think the movie is 2 hours and 28 minutes.
So I'm you're quite
there.
Finished with it.
Getting there.
Yeah, I got through the opening credits. It's pretty good. Seems like it's pretty good movie. I was excited about watching that. It's going to be pretty good.
That Paramount logo is beautiful.
So quickly give us your impressions of the first 40 minutes. Mm-hmm.
First 40 minutes is... So far, it looks like Billy Bob Thornton has put on a really good performance. Otherwise, I can't really... it's just sort of creepy. I don't know. That's all I got so far.
Yeah, like, you're doing, like, the halftime report. Like, hey, Brett, so tell us about how's this game going so far? Like, well, you know, if it's, they continue with their play so far, they're definitely going to win. You know, they just got to keep that up. Billy Bob has to keep coming strong with his performance in the second
that's
half.
Exactly right. Great job writing the script, at least the first half of it. We'll see what he's got in store for the second half.
Things are looking good. Del, while we still have Brad, just give us your first 40 minutes impression.
What happens in the first 40 minutes?
Brad knows.
I thought it was good. It was a completely different movie than I thought it was going to be.
You thought it was Deliverance or something.
I thought I got my wires crossed and thought it was Deliverance, but I thought
it was
regardless that it was a little bit of a like a thriller, more of a thriller.
I think I'm the only one that knew exactly what this movie was. Even though I had never seen it before.
I mean, the cover is very ominous, man. The cover of it, and Sling Blade. I mean, it's
Know. I just remember people making fun of it.
Oh,
like, they were just walking around doing the, I reckon, you know, doing that all the time. I don't know.
I didn't know those people.
See, I've heard people go, sure got a pretty mouth. And I thought that, I was like,
that's
waiting for that line the whole time.
Yeah, you're mixing
Somebody else did too, though. That's because I didn't just make that up. I don't think. Maybe
yeah,
I did.
Were they just speaking to you like that? Did they just tell you that you have a pretty mouth?
Maybe
talking about your mouth.
Just telling me I had a pretty mouth.
What movie is this guy quoting as he
understands so much more? But I thought it was good. The first 40 minutes were great. I thought it was. Do you want me to give my whole spiel about it?
No.
Well, we don't want to ruin it for Brad.
Yeah,
God forbid that he get he has it ruined now that he's spent 40 minutes watching it in whole 35.
I'm gonna invest another hour and a half. I'm gonna get the whole shebang.
Okay.
I thought that it was, although despite it being obvious how it was gonna end up, like what was gonna happen, it was still an enjoyable movie and sweet. I would say sweet is a good term for it.
So, again, I don't want to ruin it. So I want to just get Brad's quick take on the debate.
Oh, my God.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, that's a good take.
It pulled Super Bowl numbers.
I listened to it. It's easy to listen to idiots yelling while other people are yelling in your face. My children were screaming their heads off last night. And I think I got to listen to the last, like, half of the debates. So between the first half of... Sling Blade in the second half of the debate. You would think that I should be able to piece together a whole one thing.
Yeah.
But the second half of the debates were the most worthless investment of time I have experienced, at least in the last year, maybe 2 years.
So
it was awful.
We've talked about Donnie Trump and how ridiculous his whole thing is.
I own property there. I kept saying that. I don't remember what I was saying. I just fucking hate it. I'm disappointed that this is like where we are. It's just like, even if you love Donald Trump's policies, if you think that he is an ethical, moral, legal person who you want representing you on the world stage, even if all of that is going on, he speaks like a fucking idiot. He's just not respectful of other people. And you can't do that if you're running a country. You can do that if you're running a bar. You can do that if you're running a strip club.
Or, like,
you
I
might
guess,
even be able to get you might even be business. Able to get away with doing that running a business, you know, any small business. Leading this country, I guess you could get away with that in some countries too. I mean, there are some really like corrupt nations that, yeah, he could probably do fine. But this country specifically, I think we would all encounter a lot of international friction if he acted like that in any other forum.
Yeah, you know, all right, here's a quick thing. Everybody likes to compare him to Hitler, and there's a lot of parallels, right? But Germany at the time was kind of an underdog. They were not a world power, right? They were like, they had a lot of sanctions and shit, and they had a lot of debt because of the other war that they had. People already don't like us because we already, you know, we are a cultural behemoth. We're kind of the bully already. And then we had a bully on top. Jeez. I know you got to go, Brett.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining our show. You're welcome back maybe sometimes, not every time.
Fantastic.
The other times you will be imposing.
Yay.
All right. So that was Brad, former member of the show and current. All right. Let's...
Way to break it to him. See if he listens to the episode and figures it out.
He won't. And that's
really
why he's
having a podcast in 3 months, here. Brad. I promise.
So let's talk about fucking Sling Blade.
Yeah, so like Brad was saying,
French fried potatoes.
He shouldn't be able to get Trump shouldn't be able to get away with that stuff in certain other settings.
Yeah,
hopefully. I keep thinking that, but I thought no one like Trump could be the Republican nominee, and yet there she blows. So from there, I won't be surprised what if anything else happens.
I mean,
I'll just be further disappointed in the world.
The only thing we can look forward to is the sweet release of death, I think. Take us away from all this Trumpedness. Do you mind if we switch back to
the movie?
Sling Blade?
I don't. There's nothing new to say about Donald Trump.
Del, you go, Sling Blade. So, I agree with you. You mentioned that it was very predictable. I saw it the whole way. I was like, this guy's either he's going to have to kill again. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do it to save the kid. Sling Blade.
Spoilers.
Sling Blade's going to have to. His name is Carl.
He's
going to
sling a blade.
I thought that's one thing I didn't know. I thought his name was going to be Sling Blade or something. I didn't know.
We didn't think anything stupid like that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a Western.
I just thought it was a thriller, man. But I guess it kind of was.
I mean, yeah, it was like a drama. It's a drama comedy. So, I don't know. It
drama
felt like
comedy.
Radio. It
Nobody
felt,
called that a comedy, did
that's
they?
That's what it said.
Really?
It's a dramedy on which call it.
Did we laugh?
There were some funny parts in there.
There were some pretty funny things.
Like when they were courting there.
Would you call that a dark comedy?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
I mean, it ends, you know.
Because I think dark comedy, it makes you laugh at things you shouldn't laugh at.
Maybe, yeah. All right, so here's a plot summary very quickly. Carl, I forget his last name, is, you know, the main character, played by Billy Bob Thornton, who thought of this character on the set of a cable TV movie. He was doing Faces into a Mirror, decided on it, did a one-man show, based a movie on it, won an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. Harvey Weinstein.
Steinstein.
He cut 20 minutes of the movie, and they said that's the better version of the movie. Billy Bob Thornton said it's based on people in the South that he knows, stories that he heard before. Like, for example, the story about his brother, his baby brother, having to bury the live baby thing. Mm. He said that really happened in this town where he grew up. A lot of the stories were the same. John Ritter's character was based on a pastor he knew. So Carl is opens with him in a mental institution, a nervous hospital. Yeah, down there at the nervous hospital. I'm well. He gets released, bureaucracy, I guess. They release him, say he's fine. He goes back to the community, and he has trouble getting, I guess, reintegrated with society there for lots of reasons, most of which is because he's special needs.
Was never integrated.
Well, right. Yeah.
Society.
Yeah, and so, he makes friends with a similarly outcast kid whose father died. They take a liking to one another. They become friends. He's my friend. And, but he has an asshole dad, and he ends up killing an asshole dad at the end. And you can see that coming 48 miles away.
Wait, that part was confusing in your description.
He kills his asshole dad.
Not a dad.
Well,
not his dad.
Not even a stepdad.
Not even a
stepdad. Boyfriend of his mom.
Same difference.
Yeah, and he being Carl, not the boy.
Well, yeah, it's a man, Carl.
You say he kills his dad, it's just a little bit confusing.
All right, whatever, sure. Sure, it's fine.
That is, yeah.
We're all confused. We're all right.
I no longer remember what happened in the movie.
Wait, it was a movie about it was. They're like in the middle of nowhere, right? And it's like a lot of sadistic stuff happens.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The West somewhere.
Yep.
So, what did you think of all this? Yeah. Did you? I mean, you said you could see the way you saw it. Thought it was sweet. I could see the sweetness coming.
Oh, that sweetness coming.
Yeah, you could. You're like, they're going to be like bestest friends.
You didn't like it because of that? It didn't tug at your heartstrings?
No, because I just saw it. I don't know. I think
what's wrong with seeing it?
I think some of it was not because it was, because I think Roger Ebert says, because you can see it coming a long ways away, that's part of its charm. And mm-hmm. I think somebody even compared it to Albert Hitchcock's thing, where like,
did you say Albert Hitchcock?
Alfred. God, I'm terrible. I've been awake for long, a lot of hours.
Good old Al Hitchcock.
Long hours. I reckon I messed that one up. So, So Alfred Hitchcock's movies, where you know what's going to happen. But it's that sense of expectation that builds the suspense. So there's some of that there, and I could see that happening. I think for me, one of the reasons why I didn't enjoy it as much as I would have, say, in 1996 when this came out, '95, was because it was a little bit more fresh back then, I think. Like now...
The idea of it.
Yeah, I just feel like this movie has been done more poorly and maybe even better. It just seems like Forrest Gump and also Radio and... A lot of these kinds of movies that are very similar.
Nobody talks about Radio. Nobody watched that movie.
I've never heard of that.
What about
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Was it the Heart?
Yeah, nobody cared about that movie.
What is that movie? The one with Christian Slater?
With Christian Slater. Untamed Heart. It's called Untamed Heart. It stars Christian Slater and Marissa Tomei. And he plays a guy who thinks that he has a baboon's heart. He like got his heart replaced when he was young, and then he dies. So spoiler
for that.
That's not like this movie either. Adam,
I could see him coming long ways away, is what I'm saying.
Okay, movies you could see coming.
Yeah,
so this was also like, I don't know, Finding Nemo.
Yeah, a little bit like
a lot like it.
So Del, you enjoyed it. Did you enjoy the southernness of it?
Yeah, that's one thing that I wanted to come. So I thought like the acting in general, like from a critical standpoint, was probably not that great, except for Billy Bob Thornton. So I thought it was impressive to the point that I didn't recognize him as Billy Bob Thornton. I was also kind of surprised.
Well, time out. that's also how he looked in 95. Like, he sure. has changed his look significantly
right.
in that time period. Like, he added hair and stuff. So, I mean, I think he was in Tombstone or something like
not
that.
Not what he looked like in 95. He spent the year of 95 looking like that. I mean, no.
All he was doing a face, but, you know, he didn't have makeup. It's not prosthetics. He didn't, like, fake cut his hair. That was his
I
hair.
Know, it was
he was
good.
Just doing a face.
It was
so
good.
If he was unrecognizable, yeah. that's just because it's Billy Bob Thornton.
That's no, man. Like, it was like, I had to look. I think that his face, the way that he carried it, everything about his demeanor.
Changed, yes.
Was changed enough.
I agree.
That I had to question whether he was, I was like, is he the star of the movie? Or yes. is he just like a character and we hadn't seen him yet?
Yeah,
you know,
I knew it was really him, but I kept looking for signs of him. And other than, you know, like his general hairline, I was like, he looks like a completely different person.
Yeah.
He carried himself like a different person. The only mm-hmm. way I could see signs of Billy Bob Thornton, yeah, he was acting well. Very well, was when he was walking and they'd show shots of him kind of walking from further away. I could kind of see his gait. He has kind of a distinct walk anyway. And I know he was changing it, but you could still kind of see his normal walk in there. But yeah, other than that, I completely agree with you, Del. He became a different person.
Yeah, because he has a very confident demeanor in the way he carries himself. And,
yeah.
And that was all gone. Like, it was all gone. And he's an intrigued, for whatever reason, I'm intrigued by Billy Bob Thornton. Like, I like
him
the
as
being
an actor,
of him or whatever.
Person.
Yeah, that picture right there is a good example.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that he just lost a lot of weight, mm-hmm. and, you know,
he definitely used to look a lot different than he does now.
Yeah, and I think a lot
but
of it...
that still looks like Billy Bob Thornton to me.
But, yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Just look like he
to me, it looks
used
like
to be
Billy
into
Bob
Twinkies.
Thornton of the era.
But, nah. Yeah. He looked a lot different.
All right, okay.
As
so let's put that aside. You guys have
oh,
a
no,
crush on Billy
Bob
Thornton.
It's never stopping.
That's fine.
we heard
but I thought that it had a very To Kill a Mockingbird esque feel to it, like it felt
I like the Berg.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Hate those.
Yeah, they destroyed the city, Mockingbird.
Yeah,
I think that's what took down the Titanic, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yes, it was. I thought that it felt pretty genuine to like a Southern story, and I liked. It felt like there's a level of purity to the story. It's just like a really.
Just these are some cliche reviews of Southern movies.
Whatever, man. It's
like, man, you know.
I mean,
no.
I think you're touching on something true because yeah. Billy Bob Thornton said that he just, you know, like you pointed out a second ago, basing the characters on his people he's known in his mm-hmm. life. He wrote about what he knew.
Right.
It was true to a real place, real people.
It did French.
It didn't
potatoes.
Feel like somebody coming
it's
in and saying
authentic.
We're going to write a song about the South, a movie about the South. We're getting this is like felt like somebody who lived in the South and knew what it was like. You know, like really, like the little nuances of the movie. I'd have to go back and pick out specific things, but
yeah, it felt like a real place, real people.
Yeah, and
the people that he worked for at the shop when he got a job, they felt like it could have been a documentary at that point. With those guys, I was like, this just looks. Like normal life stuff.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I think he had said in quotes after the movie, like in the lead up to the Oscar thing, that yeah, that he did cross the character was like a cross between Boo Radley and somebody else. Mm. And also, he I guess he didn't really make it a point. He just said, "I just write what I know," and that was good. And he said, "A lot of times, a lot of people come down and write." You know, it's that old thing, like people coming into our town and writing about the bad stuff all the time. Why don't they look at the good stuff? And every place has that, you know, places about Chicago now are like, man, everybody comes in here and talks about the murders and shit. And nobody's talking about like how real life Chicago is or New York. People do that all the time, too. And in the South, I think obviously it's the Deliverance cliche or fucking, you know, Mississippi Burning. And I think he quoted the second one, Mississippi Burning. He's like, yeah, there's racism and stuff, but it's. A lot of it is just a bunch of poor people just making a living, living their lives, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, he wanted to tell some of that there. So I think that came across, you know, Texas is part of the South, but I think we're just, you know, we're like alt-South. We're better than
the
South.
The South doesn't consider Texas part of the South.
Yeah,
just so
I know, but,
aware.
You know, Texas is. And then Texas is also its own thing. But and I think
you can't be everything. You can't just be whatever's convenient to you.
Yes,
that's what Texans do.
Well, I mean, no, but
that's what Texans do.
I mean, look, if you want to know what Texas is,
it's kind of mountainous. It's kind of coastal.
It is. We have everything we got. We got snow.
Desert.
We got desert.
Forested.
We got forest. We got Mexico. We got whites. You know, it's.
We have it all.
We got it all. We're our own country, man. That's why we're better than you.
But then we are quintessential America.
Yeah. And that way, yeah, it was founded by immigrants, white immigrants coming into Texas, taking the land. All right. So back to what we're talking about. So what I'm trying to say is that I do appreciate a good Southern story, a good tale. Everybody likes a tale. I mean, it's kind of silly to call it just a Southern tale. But I think, like, Southern stories have a characteristic that they have, like, little anecdotes that don't necessarily, that they just kind of provide color.
Where the Heart Is. Story.
Yeah, sure.
It's a good movie.
Would you agree with that? I think, like, yeah. I liked it. I liked the story about the movie. I liked some of the simple, true relationships that people had with one another, because in my experience, there's a lot of life like that. So people are just honest, nice people, and, you know, you really could just ask them for a favor or something, they'd help you out. A lot of people are like that, mm-hmm. in my experience. So I appreciated some of that there. So, sorry, I almost died just now. But yeah, I could just see it coming a mile away, dude. And that was,
you know, it wasn't supposed to be a surprise.
I know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it was foreshadowed in the first 20 minutes when he went back and wanted to be back in the place.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's where
he knew that's where he was going to end up. He couldn't, there was no way he was going to, unless somebody, like, took care of him, there's no way he's going to.
Being there. That's the other one. The other one I was thinking about.
I got to rewatch that. I feel like.
Well, you were asleep.
I fell asleep on it.
Yeah, you fell asleep through 98% of the movies we watched together.
We always like to start movies after,
you put
like
on two
2
movies. This last week, Gina put on two movies and fell asleep during them. I ended up watching
two shitty
movies.
I left the room, and then you blamed me for leaving the room. I was just trying to keep the kids busy.
I continued watching two shitty movies for Gina.
So another thing about Sling Blade, the actor who plays the little boy in the movie, his name is Lucas Black. Oh, and by the way, Billy Bob Thornton's character is Carl Childers.
Childers.
But yeah, the actor Lucas Black, I was surprised he was in the movie. I didn't know he was. But he always plays like the most lovable country guy. Like, so sweet. And that's got to be who that guy just is, because even as young as he was in that movie, he's just always like that.
Oh, come on now.
And that's what our daughter thought of that movie.
Yeah. All right. So, Sling Blade, if you haven't watched it in the 30 years, that
it's worth watching.
It's entertaining. I was entertained. It's a good movie.
How many stars out of 4 does everybody give it?
2.5.
I'd probably give it. When you think about the fact that it's however many years later and it's still, I still thought it was a good movie, like, not just it was good for the time.
So it's 21.
It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I'd give it 3.5, I think.
I give it 3.
It's based in rural Arkansas, in case anybody's wondering. That was for Brad. Brad, I don't think you know that. You just learn it. They don't reveal that.
So we got a glimpse of Brad's new surroundings.
Yeah, so I was like, is Brad there? Brad.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. all right, let's continue back. I want to talk about these debates. Dell, do you have anything specific?
More debates? I thought we moved on.
Yeah, we got to finish it up, wrap it up.
I mean, I didn't watch it, man. I just don't care at all what either one of those people have to say. Trump, I'm just amazed that Trump is a classic textbook narcissist, and like, he doesn't even try to hide it. And
classic narcissist.
Yeah. I was, I'm like, and I shouldn't be, but I'm still continually shocked that this dude just, you know, people are calling it, we're like post-fact, you know what I mean? Which sounds stupid to me. It's like, dude, this dude is lying and doesn't even give a shit. And
feel
like,
so bad about
I don't understand how, like, who is it that's making these decisions to take him seriously, you know what I mean? Like, this dude obviously can't be president. We can't put this guy as fucking president.
But here's the thing, man. like I said before, I still don't think he's doing anything differently than Hillary Clinton or any other presidential candidate for the past 6 or 7 elections has done. He just doesn't hide it, try to hide any of it. It's just blatantly out there. It's not covered up by some veil of politician-ish stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it's just what it is. They're the same people, man.
I see that. I see what you're saying there. But I feel like what is different about him is that he is, like, it's that to the point where, like, Hillary Clinton could reasonably be in charge of an organization and run it competently. Well, you know, I mean, it's like everybody's a politician, right? Politicians are, you know, you get a politician, you know what you're going to get, right? They have a need to be liked. They're a little bit crooked. They will say the right things, you know what I mean, and kind of lie to you, but, you know, we get that.
You can maybe trust them to run the organization according to the agreed-upon rules?
Yes, that's kind of what, that's basically
but not really. Saying. They don't. They say that, and then their politicians will say, yes, I'll do that, and no, I'm not going to cut your throat, and then go back and then immediately cut your throat as soon as they leave the room. Like, somebody else will come up and cut your throat for them. Donald Trump is going to look you in the eye and be like, I'm going to cut your throat. And well, then somebody's going to cut their throat. He's like the mob. He's like a mobster.
I don't even think if it's like that. Because it's like this. It's like there's somebody at least – like, you know what Hillary Clinton wants and any politician wants, right? They kind of have – they want to be elected. And there's something there, and you can control that there. You're like, well, if I don't elect you, then, you know, if I pull my vote – and then they react to it, right? You know, like, oh, I'm gonna give my vote to the other guy. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll say what you want me to say. And maybe in some cases do what you want me to do, right? Because laws get passed. They end up passing laws to do whatever. So stuff happens. And you can kind of control them, although it's not a one-to-one relationship with your vote, right? But Donald Trump doesn't, because I don't even know what he wants. You know what I mean? He just wants attention. So you can't even be like, I'll give you my vote. You can't even play that game. You know what I mean? Like, so you don't know how this mechanism works.
He's like the Joker.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Joker.
Oh, you watched that thing today?
No.
No.
Was that a thing?
You didn't watch that thing
today?
No.
She came up with it on her own.
I was just thinking, you say, you know, he doesn't play by the rules, basically. And that's what the joke, like, everyone's like, how do we react to this guy? Because we don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, all
right, I'm
going
to send you the link to this thing that's like where they basically compare him to the Joker.
Okay,
that's crazy
cool.
That you said that.
Yeah, that's must be true.
I mean, yeah, like in the movie, right, the Heath Ledger one, Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Everybody understands the criminal. They're motivated by money, so you can kind of control them that way. But
you
then the Joker, like, what the hell does this dude want? And so, yeah, that's
just a
to me why, like, I don't really know why we're taking him seriously. It's
we'll
a Facebook
link. In,
I don't play Facebook link.
In Slack or on our post, guys.
Yeah, you don't have to be a member.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, I will. We'll post that. All right. So that's basically that's a debate.
Yeah. So I see what you're saying, Adam. I get what you're saying too, Del. I think I tend to agree more with the point you were making, Adam, that most politicians, because they kind of play by the rules to an extent, we can still accomplish things that are for the good of society. Not everything they do is. I'm not saying that. But yeah, with Donald Trump, if he became president, I would question whether he would do anything for the good, for the overall good.
Yeah, like,
he wouldn't consider that, period. He wouldn't care. And even if everybody said that was wrong, he wouldn't care.
But,
he wouldn't be swayed by,
like, you know, like
opinions.
Was it like parasites? Do you know how you can kind of get like a parasite to actually do like some
Be beneficial?
Yeah, to be beneficial towards you, even though they're
it serves
a
purpose.
Yeah, even though they're like self motivated, right? Even like our dogs don't necessarily. They're here. They know they act a certain way.
Yeah.
They get what, you know what I mean?
Like bosses. There are a lot of really crappy bosses that are just bosses because they want to tell people what to do, which is stupid. But they still have to approve your time off or, you know, pull for you when you need a promotion. They serve some other purposes that are for the good of the organization.
Yeah. That's what you said. Yeah, but then this dude was given a press conference to, one, denounce, to, like, respond to his birtherism things. But he used it as a vehicle to promote his hotel. You know what I mean? And that's like, so we're not even getting any benefit from this relationship. that whereas your traditional crooked politician, you could say, well, maybe if we play this game, he'll get this road fixed that we need fixed. But I don't see Donald Trump, you know, being able to do that. Anyway, so that's a deranged podcast on the presidential debates.
Deranged podcast.
Adam
needs a nap.
Yeah.
Nap.
So do you guys want to talk about this pizza guy attack or anything else? This is, it was kind of funny, but then it was also immediately kind of like scary.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, dang.
It was an interesting story.
So, all right. So, these dudes were going to rob a pizza guy and probably kill him, which is what's scary about this thing. Where did I put this link in here? I'm looking for the link.
It's in Slack somewhere.
It's in Slack somewhere.
Are you trying to remember the guy's name?
Yeah.
Harris?
Is it Napoleon Harris?
I think so.
All right. So... there you go. So the dude has a pizza company, and that's a surprise that he filled in for the normal pizza delivery dudes. And so when these four guys attacked him and tried to rob him and probably kill him, he fought them off pretty easily. He kind of beat their ass. And, you know, everybody was like, ha-ha, these thieves weren't prepared for what was waiting on them, right? They picked the wrong guy. But apparently, like, other people have been killed doing this, and you're like, what the fuck's going on?
There was blood in the car.
Yeah, like
they murdered someone.
Yeah, so it was at once kind of like, oh, whoa, look at this guy solving crime, you know? But then at the same time, like, geez, this is a murder.
Really serious thing.
So that caught my eye. Do you think it's because we have a kid now that we're just kind of more sensitive to that kind of thing?
You probably are.
Like, somebody was hurt.
I was thinking about this
a little bit.
We talk about it all the. I talk about it all the time. I haven't talked about it in a while, but like the idea that we can create sort of safety nets or like safe spaces or whatever is a complete illusion. Like safety is an illusion.
I agree.
And anybody that wants to do anything, especially if it's like the more random and crazy it is, the easier it is to pull off. Really.
Yeah.
You know, and. But you just have to, at some level, play the odds a little bit and be like, look, like, nobody actually gets abducted.
Yeah, like, I see what you're saying. I think the way I approached it, the reason I think I'm, like, more sensitive to it is just because I'm at this age in my life, and not necessarily because I have a kid, because I think I've been slipping towards it more.
Nope, that's why.
Like, in the same way that I don't really want to ride roller coasters anymore. Like, one, I'm just like, well, I don't find them fun. I find them more dangerous.
You have a fear of death now.
Yeah, I'm just like, those are dangerous.
You're so old. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, You're so old.
I know. I was thinking about the, like, people that have died. Like, well, one guy got decapitated. One lady flew out.
You're officially older than I am.
You haven't gotten there yet?
Yeah, and I was like, why do people feel like this? I think a little bit of it is because, like, when you're young, you're too stupid to... inexperienced to know that kind of stuff, right? And then as like if you're very old, you're like, ah, okay,
it's maybe also I think it's a combination between being old and letting a lot of time pass since you've participated in an activity.
I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, so the longer you go without it, the more risky it seems, and you're a little less willing you are to do it again.
Well the other part of the thing I was gonna say at this point in time, it's characterized by you failing at things that you were once successful at. I mean, like, so you're getting older, right? That a lot of your life when you're young, you didn't even know anybody. You're like, I'll try it. And you're just getting better at stuff, right? You run. I can run for days. You run as fast as you can. You get hurt. You heal up real quick. Everything is just kind of fine. And then at some point, say, like 29, you try to go run or do something that you once did before, and then your body betrays you a little bit.
You reach for a fork and you pull your back.
Yeah, and you're like, what the f-? And so then now you like you kind of question everything that you once did. And so you're not, I mean, you failed now, so you have that in your head. Whereas before you're like, yeah, I jumped off that wall. That was like 8 feet and whatever. And you were like freaked out when I was a kid. But I didn't think anything of it. I just jumped. Now would I do that? No.
Crazy.
One, I'm like, you know, a lot heavier, I'd probably break my knee or something like that.
Yeah. Now that I'm sitting in an office chair at work 2 days a week, it's taken me 3 weeks plus, because I'm not done yet, for my body to get used to that again. Like, I've been having terrible back pain, and it's not a different desk than I used to sit at or anything. It's just taking that long for my body to get used to it. And again. So
that's why I think I'm scared. Because, like, if I fought somebody, I'm like, even if I successfully fought against them, I'd probably be hurt for a long time and probably still be hurt.
I know. When I think about getting in the thought of getting in a car accident, the thing that scares me the most is the airbags. And how I'm like, if I just got in a fender bender and that airbag came out, do you know how messed up my neck and back would probably be forever?
Yeah.
I'm like, but you think about, like, some people, I guess it's young people, like, get in fights and stuff like that all the time, and they don't have back problems for life, do they? I don't know. I was asking myself this morning driving.
Well, I think
you don't, but then later in life, those things that happen early in life, like, start to hit you. Yeah. Like, my dad clotheslined himself running really hard and didn't have any problems until, like, 5 years ago. He had started having really bad neck issues and had to eventually have surgery on it.
It's crazy.
See, and that's what I'm scared of. That's why I think I'm more afraid of stuff like that. Because I'm like, you know, I don't know that I could recover the way I used to think that I could recover.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm afraid of criminals.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, my knee's gonna go out.
Oh my gosh. Penny thinks that's hilarious.
Yeah, she does. She's like, old ass motherfucker.
Already a goofy dad.
Oh, dad. But I told this story before, but, like, we used to make fun of my dad, because, like, when we throw football, like, let's go outside and throw football. We used to run out there and then just throw it as far as we could. As often as we could, as hard as we could to each other, and run and sprint. My dad was, like, warming up his arm. And one time he got and he threw the ball, like, just a normal distance, not even as far as he could. And he's like, ah, like, he, like, hurt his rotator cuff or something. And it was like that for a year. It probably still is. And that's what happened.
Still got iced.
At the time,
that
it was like 44 or something like that. I mean, we're like, you're old. And he's like, yeah, I can't throw or nothing.
That's exactly the problem.
You gotta work up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Even my friend, who was just not my age, he was like, he had to work up to going back to the basketball court. He had to work on it. He said, I'm only gonna play one game because I don't want to hurt myself. Sprain an ankle.
For sure.
But yeah, well, I mean, Dale, you were saying the same thing, that you couldn't even sleep anymore.
Yeah, man, that's the most frustrating thing that's gotten that's been like a switch that's flipped. Like, whereas I could sleep until, and that's not saying that I can't, and I haven't slept till like noon in the past year, because I have, but on a regular basis, even if I do end up like rolling over and going back to sleep, I wake up at like 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning every single day, regardless of whether I have to be up or not.
Yeah, Adam, and what time have you been waking up at?
That pisses me off.
Every day I wake up at 5:27 every day. I don't know why. It just happened.
Yeah.
Old guys.
I think that's what's happening. See, now I understand
what it is.
Like,
yeah.
See, that's I don't think I'm as old as you guys, because I haven't gotten to that problem yet. Like, these days I lose sleep because of the baby.
Yeah, but you're up all night though, right?
No, but I'm saying before her, like, if that wasn't a thing, if she would sleep, I could sleep until 11 still.
Yeah, this has been like a couple of years, and my sleep has always been later than everybody else's. Like, I could always sleep late and I'd stay up until 4 or 5 in the morning and sleep until 2 in the afternoon. But
2 in the what?
Afternoon.
Yeah, that one hasn't changed. I don't know. I've always been an early riser, so it's not that really different for me. But I used to wake up like at 7, and people were like, well, 7's early, but now I'm waking up at 5:30. I don't know. I can wake up at 5. I can wake up early. I stay up late, wake up early.
But you get tired.
I do get tired, yeah.
Start saying deranged podcast.
Well, yeah, that's
the best. I still say the best sleep or the most rested I ever felt was the semester that I would sleep for 5 or 6 hours at night and come home and take an hour and a half nap in the middle of the day.
Yeah, naps are awesome.
And I was getting a total of like 6.5 or 7 hours, and
that's
still
not
felt
for me.
More rested overall than getting 8 solid hours a night.
So, listeners, how much sleep do you need?
It's a weird thing, sleep.
I need like 9 slip. Hours.
Sleep.
Slip.
Slip. Slip is a weird thing.
Slip. Yeah, I don't know. It's open. Let's sleep. We'll say that, I don't know.
When will you say it?
I've always liked to wake up early. I always, I don't really like to sleep. I recognize that I need sleep, but I'd rather be up doing things.
I would love to wake up early if I weren't tired. But if I'm sleepy, I can't be awake because I'm too angry. I'm an angry, sleepy person.
Yeah, you are. You get like real.
Yeah.
I can get cranky. I get cranky. Angry. I get cranky if I'm sleepy. I can kind of snap.
Yeah, you can call mine cranky. Call it whatever you want.
I don't like going to bed. That's my problem.
I don't like going to bed either.
Once I'm in bed, I don't want
to
get up.
I love going to bed because I'm sleepy.
Well, you like going to bed if it's 7 p.m.
If I'm tired, that trumps everything. I don't care what else I wanted to do. It can't happen because I'm sleepy.
There's too much to do.
I get mad that I'm sleepy because it's interfering with my life, man.
Me too.
I get mad too, and then I go get my sleep.
I'm so tired.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, stupid fucking sleep.
Yeah, and then
I know if I would just like take 3 days and sleep as much as possible, it would be all gravy again. But I just don't.
Supercharge your battery. I don't think people work like that.
I wish they did.
They've come to understand that you can like cancel out your sleep debt by sleeping more over time, not like in one huge chunk, but
just sleep once weekly. I sleep on Saturdays. That's it.
All day. Then I'm ready to go the rest of the time.
Half a Friday, all day Saturday.
Yeah. That would be kind of useful.
Yeah. I think we don't really have much else to talk about this week on the podcast. I mean, there's other things to talk about.
Because we all got to go to bed. It just makes you sad.
It makes me mad. I get mad. It's always been
like
that
way. A kid being told it's bedtime.
I know. My mom used to sing. I was like, "Good night, sweetheart," and I hated that.
No, 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 dee, no.
She would do it. She would start out by singing that part, the boop, boo, doo, boop, boo, doo, boop, boo, doo, boop, boo, and I would get so pissed. I was like, "Fuck!" Like she was just like I don't know, just like mocking me to my face that I had to go to sleep.
Yeah, I hated it when I was a kid, but once I got older, I was like, oh, sleep can be awesome. You can look forward to sleep. Now
sleep's
I know.
Sleep's awesome when you don't want to be doing whatever you're doing. Like, if you're at work, I'm like, totally, it's time for sleep right now.
Sleep is awesome all the time.
But, like, if you're doing the thing you want to be
doing,
I
know once I get
it,
I'll be in a good mood again.
Yeah, but the world will have passed you by.
Nothing happens
Gina,
in the middle of the night except for
Gina
infomercials.
Has a level of wisdom.
Yeah, fuck wisdom.
I know. Come on,
fuck
guys. Get
wisdom.
On board.
I'm with you, Dale. I know how you feel. You just get angry at your body.
You guys are immature.
Stupid sleep.
You guys are ancient and immature.
Bitch ass body needing sleep ass.
Old men.
Bitch ass body.
Grow up. Catch up with your old crusty bodies.
This is going to happen. I'm going to be like 75 and just take 8 naps a day. 8 1-hour
naps.
8
angry naps.
Yeah.
I'm going to be mad every time.
You probably will do that. You'll throw a little tantrum and fall asleep mid-tantrum and wake up and everything will be fine again.
Yep.
For 38 minutes.
I'll be like, Grandpa needed that.
My world can only be 10 minutes away from me because I will be just like, Grandpa. Yeah, that's fine. Well, I guess we'll wrap up this one. It's a little
make it a short one,
a little shorty.
Shot
but a goodie.
Yeah. Is now when you pick the next movie?
Is now the time? Nah, I'm gonna pick it next week on October 3rd or whatever day we go. The first week in October. Can y'all believe it's October already next week?
Yes, I can.
Can you even believe that snuck up on, you know, where did it come from?
I see it coming.
I was all up in September and I was like, wait, October comes after it again.
I feel like, you know what? It's still fucking September. God, what the fucking hell?
Anywho, movie next week and then we'll watch it within the following 2 weeks. Something special for Halloween. Or should I save the Halloween pick for the end of the month?
Halloween.
I'll decide.
Alrighty.
Y'all don't get to tell me. You don't tell me what to do.
I have to pee. So should I do that and then we come back and say bye, or should we say bye?
No, we got it on.
We're not gonna wait for you, old man.
So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Deranged Penguin Podcast, or the Deranged Podcast, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever.
Maybe we're shortening our name. Who knows? Everybody get some sleep. What else? Watch Sling Blade.
I can't even say it.
It's like my top lip doesn't want to move. I can't wants to be asleep. Mm-hmm. And I'm mad at confess. It. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.